All right, today's reading, again, is this month's reading. It's the same thing. We're doing that every week with intention on maybe some scripture memorization. This might be good for us to embed this psalm in our minds and our hearts. So let's read this together again, Psalm 101. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me, and I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. And whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all of the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. All right, you guys can have a seat. You know, last Friday, a couple of days ago, I had mentioned this, I think week one, but last Friday is has been dubbed National Quitters Day. And it was this acknowledgement that most of the New Year's resolutions end on Friday, that third Friday or second Friday, I don't know. Anyway, it was the other day. But there was this acknowledgement. That's when most people quit their New Year's resolutions. And I was watching the news on Friday, and there's this little donut shop in Green Hills. It's called the Donut Den. Great donuts, by the way. But they were celebrating National Quitters Day by handing out free donuts to all the quitters. And they were interviewing the owner, and he's just sitting there. He's like, "Yeah, we just wanted to celebrate the quitters." They're people too, and they're just acknowledging, they're just celebrating the fact that people are quitting their New Year's resolutions. Now, they have great donuts, but they have bad theology, all right? Don't get your theology from the donut den. Because this new year, as we respond to David's New Year's resolution in Psalm 101, we have made a resolution to walk in integrity, and we will not be quitters. We are not going to quit, and we're definitely not going to celebrate quitting. You see the strong language in David's psalm here. I mean, he is, number one, it's full of I wills, right? But he is like passionate that he will resolve to walk in integrity. He will not compromise, and that is what we're doing as a church here. Because of the steadfast love of God, and the justice of God demonstrated in Jesus, that's verse one. Out of that motivation, we have resolved as a church that we will walk in integrity, that we will live on the side of right, that we will live like Christians in every aspect of our lives. No matter where we are or who we are with, and no matter the consequences, when everyone's watching, and when only God is watching, we will walk in integrity. We will. Week one, we said that we would walk in integrity of the heart. That's the inner man, the inner person, the desires, the thoughts. The heart is the navigational system of our lives, right? So it's the inner man. We say, everything inside of me, I will walk with integrity. Last week, we began to move to the outer person. We saw that we would commit to having integrity with our eyes, with our eyes. We're not done with those resolutions because the sermon's done last week, by the way. We're going to continue to do these things. Today, we continue with the outer person, and we are going to commit to walk with integrity of the tongue. Integrity of the tongue. Look with me again. Back to the psalm, there's a couple of verses that we're going to pull out here. Psalm 101, verse 5. David says, "Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure." Jump down to verse 7. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house, and no one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Now, in context here, I want to make sure that I'm not preaching out of context. In context here, David is announcing the qualifications for those who would be able to serve in his courts. He's like, you're going to come into my courts. Oh, if you practice deceit and you utter lies, you're not coming anywhere around me. In fact, I hate that stuff. You won't be around me. He will not tolerate the slandering, secretly, the gossip. He will not tolerate the lying. Now, clearly, David believes that taming the tongue is important if he is going to walk in integrity. That's a very clear inference here. And so today, instead of zooming in on gossip and slander and lies and just kind of talking about those, I'm going to back up and I'm going to talk about a theology of the tongue. Because if we as a church are going to be serious again about walking in integrity, we must commit our tongues into walking integrity with our tongues, with our speech, of course, when I say that. So that's going to include every time I say tongue today, and I might say it like 800 times. It's going to include the words, obviously, that come out of our mouth. It's going to obviously include text, typing on keyboards. It's going to include tweets, anything that you do, posting, any form of communication in our digital age. It's going to include all of those things. All right? So let's talk about a little bit of a theology of the tongue. There's a lot more going on before we just start to say, hey, here's how to talk, right? The tongue, number one, the tongue reflects God. This tongue, my tongue, your tongue, is a reflector of God. You see, we all talk, some more than others. Some people have trouble starting talking, and others have trouble stopping talking. But the reality is we all talk, right? And talking with our tongues is one of the many ways that we reflect the image of God, who is a talker. From creation to the coming consummation, God is always talking, right? That's how he spoke the world into existence. So God is a talker. We reflect God in the world with our tongues, or at least we're supposed to. It's one of the many ways that we've been set apart from all other creatures on the earth. We reflect God. The tongue not only reflects God, the tongue reveals the authenticity of our religion. Look at James 1:26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Wow. Wow. Strong words. No matter how religious you are, no matter how many MDivs you have, no matter how many times you come to church, no matter how diligent you are in family worship or giving and serving at church, no matter how formed your theology or your eschatology is, no matter how religious we are, if we can't tame this tongue, our religion is worthless. These are strong words. The tongue is not only reflecting God and does not only reveal the authenticity of our religion, the tongue is also being recorded by God. Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. No greater reason to watch our words and tame our tongue than knowing that we will have to give it an account to God for every careless word that we speak. So again, if we're going to be serious today about integrity, we must be serious about the tongues. So what we're going to talk about today, all right, is kind of two main ideas. I want to talk about the power of the tongue that proceeds from the heart. Power of the tongue that proceeds from the heart. Let's look at this first idea, the power of the tongue. Go with me you don't necessarily have time to turn to, but you can write this down if you want to. Proverbs 18, 21. Again, the Proverbs are basically a treaty on the tongue. There's so much goodness in Solomon's Proverbs, but listen here what he says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. So the tongue, although very small, possesses great power. It can either bring death or it can bring life. So there's no neutral words. All of our words are giving death or they're giving life. So I want to look at some of the death words and we'll look at some of the life words. All right, let's start with some death ones, which are clear from even right here in Psalm 101, some of the things that David mentions, of course, here. First of all, he addresses the slandering secretly, the secret slandering. That's gossip. Gossip, things that you say about a person that you would not say to them into their face. You would say it behind their back, but not in front of their face. Gossip brings death. Gossip brings death, even if it's in a prayer request. You know what I mean? Now let's pray for so-and-so. They're cheating on their husband. That's gossip. Gossip brings death. Death. Gossip will bring death to your friendships, and gossip will bring death to fellowship. David, and remember David's words here. David says, I don't want them around me. So he's saying, if a gossip comes around me, I'll have nothing to do with them. I don't want to be friends with a gossip is what David says. Strong words, because they bring death. Lies bring death. When David refers here to this deceit, it's what he's talking about. He hates lies because lies bring death. Satan, of course, is the father of lies. He started the first lie in the garden that spread death to all men. David hated lies. Why did he hate them so much? Because God hates lies. Look at Proverbs 6:16. There are six things that the Lord hates. And yes, the Lord does hate stuff, by the way. He hates these things. Seven of them are an abomination. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. God hates lying tongues. Those who practice lying. Because lying brings death. I read this week where on an average, I don't know who they polled and who they say are, but it said that the average person tells four lies a day. Four lies a day. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that lying tongues bring death not only in our lives, again, with all of our horizontal relationships, lying brings death, but it also, a lying tongue, one who practices lying on the regular, it brings a second death to them. Look at Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, we get all that, but also the liars. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Hell will be filled with people who had lying tongues. Other words that bring death. Harsh tongues bring death. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So, harsh, rash words. We're talking about truthful words here. So these are words. They're not lies. They're actually true words. But they're spoken in such a way that they come out like sword thrust. They cut. They cause harm because they're said without no consideration of the hearer. This is the person who says, who kind of comes in hot and heavy, says, I just tell it like it is. And if you're offended, that's on you. That's that person. And it does matter. It does matter. Because how you say something does matter. That's what the Proverbs here says. He says, if you come in like that, it just makes it worse. It stirs up anger, causes harm. It makes it worse when we come in like that. Think about it in realm of, we'll get a stain on our recliner at my house. It's like microfiber or something like that. And then, I mean, I get in there, man, I just want to rub that dang thing out, bro. I'm just going to grab some soap rag, a wet rag, and I get in there and I start grinding just to get it out because I think I'm helping that thing, right? Rubbing that joker deep. And then Callie comes over like, hey, you're just making it worse, man. You can't come in like that all hard and harsh on that thing. You got to be delicate. You got to take a rag and wipe it on the top before it gets down and soak, and you're going to make it worse. That's what harsh words do. We come in all hot. We think we're doing good, but we're just making it worse. Martin Luther talked about this. He had a quote in regards to speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. Martin Luther said, with the wolves, you cannot be too severe. With the sheep, you cannot be too gentle. So there is a harsh word we're supposed to say to the wolves. Jesus spoke very harshly to wolves and Pharisees, but not, that wasn't his normal vernacular to the sheep. It was more gentle. Harsh words will bring death to marriages, to intimacy, to families, to relationships. They'll bring death to the church, the fellowship. Other examples of things that bring death in the scripture would include things like boasting, proud boasting, always talking about yourself and what you're doing and how awesome you are. That brings death to people. I mean, who wants to be around that, right? Grumbling, Israelite-like grumbling, just constant complaining about things. Critical tongues that are just always fault-finding in people. Well, what you think about that? Oh, it's horrible. Just, I mean, always going right to the critical place, the critical tongue. A tongue that is full with crude humor or corrupting talk. These things bring death. I hear these lists. I go through these lists and I'm like, you know, I'm just kind of like hand over my mouth. I'm like, oh, I thought I was doing so good last week. And then I hear these lists. There's a lot of death that can come from our tongues. James 3, which is a treaty on the tongue, the dangers of the tongue. James talks about how it's so small, but man, it can set a forest ablaze. It can burn everything up around us. Calls it poison. Full of deadly poison, it says. Paul said in Romans that we're all born and our natural tongues, they have the venom of asps under our lips, is what he says about it. Does it just curse, deceit filled with them? They're diseased. These reasons, of course, I think are the reason why this Puritan preacher, Thomas Watson, said this. God has set a double fence before the tongue, the teeth and the lips, to guard us from speaking death with our tongues. Thought that was good. Clearly understand that. I mean, he gave us two ears, right, and just one tongue. I think an easy application here, as I try to not speak things that bring death to people, these lists here, that's an easy one. But sometimes, one of the ways that we can prevent death from coming out of our mouths is having silent and slow tongues. So Ecclesiastes 3:7, look at this. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So sometimes it is better to be silent. You just don't respond. Because I think it was Alison Krauss, the great theologian Alison Krauss, of course. You say it best when you say nothing at all. It's like, sometimes if I don't open my mouth and I just keep my mouth shut, I prevent death from coming out of it. Silence can prevent death. So can slow speech, James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So the next time before you respond to that person who has provoked you and stirred up emotions of defensiveness inside of you, and you just want to, ooh, I can't wait to fire away this text, to post back on social media the response, to the next time that happens, ask yourself, is this the time to be silent? Is this the time to be slow to speak? When we can do that, we can prevent a lot of death from coming out of our mouths. So there's some guarding that happens here of our tongues, because they can definitely bring death. But our tongues have the power to bring life, to give life. The most obvious demonstration of the way that our tongues have the power to give life is in the way that God uses the tongues of people to preach a gospel that wakes spiritually dead people and helps them find life. So if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, God used someone else's tongue to bring you life, to wake you from the dead. I just think about all the ways God could have done that on the universe, by the way. All the ways to save. And yet he chooses to use the imperfect tongues of imperfect people to preach a perfect gospel. Our tongues can bring life, but we have to share the gospel. We share the gospel. Think about that. When we share the gospel, we can actually be used by God to give people life, to help them find life in Christ. I love that. It's the easiest way. Tongues that speak God's truth give life. So here is, we are littered in a culture that is full of lies and deceit. But when we speak truth, when we speak God's word in every domain possible that we go, when we exalt the scriptures and say, this is true, God's word is true, that brings life. It brings life into people. It brings life into civilizations. We have to speak truth. Tongues that encourage and build up give life. Look at Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up with words, just as you are doing. Do you have any friends that build you up and encourage you in Christ? They just reach out to you, be it phone or text or post or in person, whatever. They say, hey, man, I just want to thank you. I love you. I just want to encourage you. I'm very thankful for you. In a moment where you might fall and you're struggling, and they just remind you of the grace that you have in Christ Jesus. Do you have those friends? I do. I'm thankful that I do. It's many of you right here that will send me a text at the right time or phone call or an encouraging card that you write. And it just, what it does, it breathes oxygen into my life. I hope you have those friends in your life that do that. When I get those, I'm very thankful, but also I want to be that person. I want to be someone who speaks life and builds up and encourages people around me too. I need to do better at that because it gives people life. Soft, wise tongues give life. Proverbs 25:15. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Proverbs 31:26, the Proverbs 31 woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. These things give life. But another thing that the tongues do, they give life, is they rebuke and correct someone who is in danger or error. Okay, so just think about someone that you know, a brother or sister in Christ, they're walking in error. And they're in danger. If I'm silent, I'm actually feeding their death. I'm promoting death. I'm saying, hey, it's okay. It's not my problem. Secret love, that's what we would say, right? I love them so much, I'm not going to say anything to them. I don't want to offend them. Well, that's speaking death without saying any words. Rebuking is one of the ways that we speak life into people. Look at Proverbs 27:5. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. So it is better to openly rebuke a brother or sister in danger than to profess that we have a secret love for them and we don't say anything. Better to have an open rebuke than to have an abundance of kisses of an enemy, a bunch of words from an enemy. It's better to openly rebuke people. Soft, of course, like we talked about earlier. Other ways that our tongues give life, man, we give praise. We've sung to God this morning with our tongues. We praise God through singing. We give gratitude to God through prayer. We give gratitude to the people around us. Hey, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Many, many ways that our tongues can give life. They have power. Again, to summarize this idea, they have power. They have power to cause massive death and destruction in the people around us. Mass destruction. They can cause the death of happiness, the death of marriages, the death of families, the death of churches, the death of our witness to a watching world. They can cause a lot of death, but they can also give life. They can give hope and peace and happiness and encouragement and joy. They can give power to our witness to a watching world. Life or death. What is the ultimate determiner on what our tongues will do? So with that power that we all have to do one or the other, what's the determining factor with which way I'm going to go? I'm going to do death, I'm going to do life. Well, this is the second idea. The power of the tongue proceeds from the heart. It proceeds from the heart. Look with me at Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Kids in the room, listen to me for just a minute. All right, I'm going to pull y'all in for a minute. I try to do this and try to listen for a minute. Is it okay to stick your tongue out to people? No, as he says, no. I think kids would agree. You should not stick out your tongues at people, right? The only appropriate place to stick your tongue out is at the doctor's office, right? When you go into the doctor's office and he says, stick out your tongue, that's the only time it's okay. Why is the doctor asking us to stick out the tongue? Because the condition of the tongue reveals the overall condition of the body. The doctor can look at the tongue and determine if there are infections in the body, nutritional deficiencies in the body. The doctor looks at the tongue and can tell if you're healthy or unhealthy. This is the exact same thing into the spiritual realm. It's the exact same thing. Our tongues, the condition of our tongues say and reveal what the condition of our overall spiritual health. They reveal what's going on in the health of our hearts. That's our heart, that's our life's navigational system, just by the condition of the tongue. I think we might be prone to think that our words come from how we talk, come from how you grew up. And you just grew up like this, and this is how you talk, right? Or the people you hang out with now, or they come from your education. I know words, I'm good at English. Or they come from the people around us provoking us to say things. Those kids, they get my old this, my wife, my husband, they make me, my boss, the Lord says, no. Those are factors, but they're not the root cause of the things that come out of your mouth. The root cause, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks. They reveal what kind of people we are. John MacArthur said this, and we got some John MacArthur fanboys in the room, you know who you are. Listen to this quote. The tongue is the tattletale on the heart that reveals the real person. It's the tattletale of the heart. So a tongue that is infected with lies, slander, sword thrust to other sheep, grumbling, gossip, division, criticism, tears down, harsh, all that reveals is that the heart is evil. There's something wrong here. There's something deeper that's going on in the heart. But when the heart that preaches, or when the tongue that preaches the gospel, that speaks truth in love, that builds up one another, that encourages one another, that is full of compassion and corrects people in love, all of those things, when we speak that way with our tongues, it reveals that the heart is good. The heart is full of good. If God, the divine physician, were to look at the condition of your heart today, or your tongue today, if he just looked at your tongue, what would he say about your heart? What would he say about your overall spiritual health? How do we respond? What am I supposed to do with this stuff now, RC? Well, here's the first thing. The natural person says, hey, let's run out of here and get some bars of soap and let's wash our mouths out. Stop saying bad things. Start saying good things. The natural person says, well, that's what I need to go do. Tame my tongue. It's useless. James 3 says that the human tongue is untamable by humans, at least, he does say. Humanly untamable. We cannot tame our own tongues by ourselves. So our first step is not to go clean out our mouths. If we're reading the Lord's word here, the first step is to go to God and ask him to clean our hearts. Psalm 51, David, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, That's the first thing we all do. We got to fix this. So if you would be so bold enough to agree that you have some tongue-taming problems, that you're prone to speaking death, and the first thing you got to do is right here. What's going on in here? Address this issue right here, what's going on in the heart. We need new hearts. And that's Christianity too, by the way. That is Christianity 101. We don't clean up the outer man. We go to God and say, cleanse the inner man. Give me a clean heart, a new heart that wants to obey you and that can obey you. Look at Ezekiel 36, 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all of your uncleanliness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Who does God do that for? Who does he cleanse a heart, give a new heart, brand new heart that loves him, that desires him, that delights in him, and that starts to obey his rules? Who does he do that for? Only for those who confess with their mouth, with their tongue, that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead and they are saved. That's it. That's the first thing we do in our tongues or with our tongues in our life that is pleasing to God. We confess to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the first thing. Have you ever done that in your life? Or are you someone who's your life, you just try to clean yourself up? You're trying to do all the cleaning, the going to the church and the giving and the serving and all the things you're trying to do, religious things to clean your life up, to clean your heart and clean your mouth out. It's futile. You can give up on that today and you can cry out for the first time in your life to create in me a clean heart, and God will give you a clean heart. He will give a new heart to you. A new heart. Because once the Lord has the heart, guess what follows? The tongue. The tongue. The tongue. When God has the inside, he will change the outside. I'm going to pray right now, and I want to do a couple things. The band's going to come up here. The first thing that I want us to do here, we're going to sing a song after I pray. The first thing we're going to do is sing a song about, surprise, Jesus. But the reality here is that we are, for those who profess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and God raised him from the dead, are now saved. Here's what we get. We obviously get the forgiveness of every death word we've ever said, in the past, the present, the future. We also get the forgiveness for not speaking life in every situation that we passed up where we should have spoken life. But we also get credited with the perfect tongue of Jesus. We commit ourselves wholly and fully to him. And it says here that he will make us like himself. Christ will make us like him. He promises to do it. So we're going to praise God for Jesus and what he did by grace through faith. And then I'm going to come back up at the end with some walkout kind of homework kind of ideas on once we understand the gospel and the transformation that's occurred from the inside out, how we can go live this out. So let me pray for us and we'll sing. Father, we all confess as Isaiah confessed that we are people of unclean lips. We acknowledge that our tongues are full of restlessness and danger and evil, can often spit out poison, set fires of division, harsh, speak death, gossip, full of lies, deceit. We just acknowledge that's us, God. No one in the room has a clean lip. So God, we confess that before you, but then we also quickly say, God, thank you for your grace and your forgiveness in giving us Christ. We sing to you and you alone. Thank you for giving us a clean heart and a new heart, for washing us from the inside out so that we may be seen and acceptable before your eyes. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and again, I'll come back up in just a moment.